All right, Mark chapter 10. Just stay with me, Caesar, for a moment. Mark chapter 10. Thank you, worship team, as always. Thank you to our load-in, load-out teams. Thank you for all that you do. I started a little accidental thought last week on the towel over the title. I talked about servanthood, and I just couldn't get enough of it. So I'm going to do one more week. Is that okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, man, this is so unbelievable. We want you to do for us whatever we ask." Wow. I love that Jesus didn't slap him. He should have. He's so gracious. "What do you want me to do for you?" It's like, he's just so kind. Let us sit at your right and the other on your left in glory. Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink, be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" He's saying, can you handle the persecution that's coming? I'm about to go to the cross. There is about to be a great moment of persecution that's going to break out against me and the disciples. Can you handle that? They go, "We can." Well, they couldn't because they all fled. Amen. Not one of they all ran when persecution broke out. Just remember that. But he said, "You will drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with." He said, you are going to face major persecution, but to sit at my right or my left, that's not for me to grant. These places belong to those from whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. So Jesus had to call them all together. There was a quarrel among the young men. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So you know how leadership is done in the world system. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Let's talk about the Jesus way to greatness. The Jesus way to greatness. Lord, speak to us now, I pray. Everybody say this together. Say, "My heart's open. My mind's ready. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name." Amen and amen. Thank you, bro. Thank you. On the day that we cross from this life to the next life, from this world to the next world, when we leave earth and we enter into heaven, on that day, every believer, every true Christian desires to hear these famous words from Jesus. "Well done, my good and faithful," not pastor, not prophet, not king, not singer, not celebrity, not missionary, not influencer. We all want to hear the same thing. Matthew 25, 23. We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful." Good, guys, there you go. "Good and faithful." It's better when you do it with me, so the impact is there. "Good and faithful servant." Yeah. That's what we want to hear. Jesus is not going to call me Pastor Jabin. Did you know that? Man, Pastor, he's never going to call me that. I don't want to hear that. There's one thing that we all want to hear. It's servant. One devoted to others in service. That's what a servant is. One devoted to, I'm devoted to others. See, the disciples were waiting on an earthly kingdom. They were waiting on the overthrow of Rome for Jesus to replace Caesar as king. This is what they were waiting for. This is what they wanted. When they asked Jesus, "Can we sit at your thrones? Can we sit on your left and the right?" They weren't talking about heaven. They literally thought Jesus was going to be king in the earth realm like a king, like Caesar. But this was not the way of Jesus. What they called greatness and what Jesus called greatness were radically different. Here's what they did. They placed Jesus into their current context and assumed what he would do. Ooh, we do the same today. How many know we got Western Jesus, we got American Jesus, we got my Jesus. Right? We talk this way. We say things like Jesus would never. Well, what we're saying is I hope Jesus would never, right? I have a box. I have a bubble. This is how I want Jesus to fit into it. And this is what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to fit their time and space. They assumed what he would do. They assumed how he would do it. They assumed what he should do and shouldn't do. This is why they would rebuke him for going to the cross. They would rebuke him. You can't go to the cross. They would rebuke him for washing feet. They would rebuke him for forgiving. They would rebuke him for blessing the children and healing the women. So Jesus reminds us in John 18. I mean, you just got to realize this, that when you read the Gospels, we read past this because we're focused on Jesus, which is good. But just look at all the interactions of the disciples. They basically just keep missing it. So Jesus has to tell them in John 18, guys, my kingdom isn't of this world. I'm not doing what you think I'm doing. It's different. While they were designing thrones, Jesus was washing feet. While they were arguing who would be first, Jesus became last. They could only see Jesus through their limited views of success and greatness. But the ways of Jesus were going to be radically different. It was going to be so different. It was going to be so different. He did not rebuke greatness. He just redefines greatness. He doesn't rebuke wanting to be first. He just redefines what it looks like to be first. He doesn't tell you you can't be great or successful. He just tells you it's going to be upside down. It's going to be different than you think. How you get there is different. You don't climb up. You serve into. You serve your way down into greatness. You don't step on people up into greatness. It's not dog eat dog. It's who can serve best. This is the way of Jesus. This is how it should feel when you're around believers. It should feel this way. You know, and I want to say this again. I've said this a lot, but I want to say again. And I really do feel that when I get around Christians, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, sometimes church people will say, the church is just as bad as the world. We're really not. You know, I basically golf one time a week with guys from the church. And it's so amazing. We're just talking about family. We're talking about life. Talking about business. Talking about dreams. We're acting like we didn't see that guy throw it out of the sand trap. I mean, we're just covering sins. And we're giving each other 20-foot gimmies. And like, it's awesome. You don't know what a gimme is. It's just like, yeah, you would have made that putt. It's like, yeah, right. We're encouraging, man. People shank it. We say, I'll drop another ball. It's okay. God's with you. We won't count that one. I mean, it's so. And then I'll play usually one time a week where I'll just walk out on the course and I'll just end up playing with guys that aren't saved. I mean, it's crazy. They're tearing each other apart. They're complaining about their wives. They're blind drunk. It's shocking. Yeah. And I try not to tell them I'm a pastor right away so I don't kill the vibe, right? I'm just kind of there. And then around hole 11 or 12, they go, so what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. It's always with this. It's always the same. I'm not going to be crude, but it's always, F word. Oh, blank. And then they get mad at me. Are you going to ruin the vibe? I'm like, I haven't yet. I've just been watching you. It really should be different in the Jesus way, and it is. And I'm grateful for I'm grateful for the beauty of the church and the servanthood of the church. This should feel different. Yes. This should not feel like the club on Friday night. This should not feel like work on Monday morning. We should come around believers, and it should feel like, wow, this is It sure, and we're fighting for that. We're fighting for that even in this church, to have that kind of culture and spirit. Okay, so firstly, the Jesus way is different. The Jesus way is different. But among you, it will be different. Jesus tells the disciples that how we see leadership and how we see greatness and how it's measured in the world is not how it will be measured in the kingdom of God. Here's what's amazing about, as shocking as it is that they go, hey, we want you to do this for us. What's really shocking is if you just read Mark 10. Jesus just had this encounter with the rich young ruler where he tried to serve God in his own way and it didn't work. He then goes into the cross. Guys, I'm about to die. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be whipped. I'm going to die for the sins. I mean, he's just walking them through this. This is like a very sobering moment. And James is like, yeah, so can I sit at your right hand? It's like, read the room, bro. This is not the moment. John's like, yeah, how about I'll sit on your left? She's like, I'm going to die. I'm dying. I'm going to the cross. Yeah. So can I? Because they just didn't want to believe it. They just didn't want to believe the Jesus way. And I just want to remind you that he then calls them to a place of service and a place of the cross and a place of, guys, you're going to have to carry your own cross. You're going to have to deal with your own baptism. You're going to have to drink your own cup. And by the way, a preacher or a faith that never calls you to the cross and to carrying your own cross, it's not real faith. If Christianity has not confronted you yet, it's not Christianity. If your faith has not confronted you yet, it's not real faith. What does it mean to carry my cross? It means obeying God when you don't want to. And sometimes you want to. And as you grow, you want to more. But every once in a while, you got to forgive and you don't want to forgive. Every once in a while, you got to be kind and you don't want to be kind. Every once in a while, you got to give and you don't want to give. Sometimes God will stretch your faith. And carrying your cross is when you obey God and your flesh doesn't want to obey God. And that should happen every once in a while. It should. It really should. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit ought to confront you and you pick up that cross and you go, okay, I'm gonna go God's way, not my way. And what is their response to the cross? We want you to do whatever we want. This week, a famous rapper who is in the past claimed to be a Christian, very anti-Semitic guy that I'm not a fan of, shared how he has problems with Jesus because, in his words, Jesus did not answer his prayers. And I thought, yeah, he's not going to, bro. He has this thing about, I'll bless those who bless my people and curse those who curse my people. So it's not a good way to start your prayer life. But anyway, I just thought, what a weird way to try to live I got problems with Jesus. What he's saying is, because I brought the, we want you to do whatever I want you to do. And God goes, that's not really prayer. It's a very immature, at best, immature form of prayer. See, the greatness of surrendering to Jesus is to go to God and not say, here's what I want you to do, but to say, God, what do you want? What do you desire? What is your will? I'm not saying you can't pray the promises of God. I'm not saying that you can't believe big. I am saying, though, that prayer starts in a surrender of, Lord, what would you like me to do? To surrender is to do what I do for God and with God. Yeah, I'm doing this for God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all for the glory of God. And if it doesn't bring God glory, I don't want to do it. And if God's not in it, I don't want to do it. And if God's not for it, I don't want to do it. So every ability I have, every opportunity I have, every gift I have, every skill that I have is for the glory of God. Using my unique genius to serve God in humanity. Because you do, you have a unique genius. What is your genius? Your genius is the way you see the world. Your genius is the way that your it's your gift. It's your talent. It's your spark. And you're to use that for God. In his book, Too Soon Old, Too Late Smart, Gordon Livingston wrote this: in order to be happy, you need something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. And I want to focus in on that something to do. You need something to do. But Livingston isn't a Christian. He just defined faith, hope, and love, by the way. He didn't know it, but he did. In order to be happy, you need faith, hope, and love. You need faith, something to do. You need hope, something to look forward to. You need love, someone to love. He just didn't know that he was a theologian. But you need something to do. See, a lot of people are unhappy because they're looking for people and even for God. Here's what I want. You serve me. You do whatever I want. And it's never enough. It's never enough. Where the joy is, where the happiness is in you doing something. Not looking for a handout, but looking to be a blessing. I'm not saying you never need a handout. I'm not saying you never need help. That's not what I'm saying. And if you're in one of those seasons, we want to help. But my point is that you, if you live your entire life with the framework of everyone out here is here to help me, and God is here to help me, and that's it, you're never going to be happy. Until you say yes to your unique gifting and genius and calling in life and start to give your life away, you're never going to be happy. There's something about service that brings a joy that nothing else can bring. So the Jesus way is different. The Jesus way is service. The Jesus way is service. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Okay, here's what Jesus did not do. Jesus did not say, whoever wants to be great, repent, that's a sin. You want to be great? You're wrong. You're evil. Whoever want you want to do something great for your life, you want to do something great for that business, you want to do something great for your family, you want to do something great in your faith, that's wrong, that's evil, that's ambition. That's not what he said. Because he knows that there's something deep in us that's actually from God to be great. The desire for great is in us, and it is from God. Let me prove it. Because he got quiet in here. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, this is what God said to Adam and Eve: be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. That's in you. That's in your DNA. It doesn't go away ever. It's from God. It's on you and it's in you. It's why we build cities. It's why we invent things. It's why we create things. It's why we have ambitions. It's why we do. It's in us from God. God placed greatness in us and it wants to come out. So don't run from that. Don't run from that. Right? Don't run from that. Look what he said to Abraham now in Genesis 12. This is, again, in his spiritual DNA. And I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Look at that. There's greatness and there's servanthood right there. I will bless those who bless you. I will, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Look at that. God says, I'm going to make you great and I'm going to make your name great. That's in you. It's on you and it's in you and it's inescapable. So what do I do with that desire? Because a lot of you are trying to kill that desire. You can't kill it. You're trying to push it down. You can't. You think it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's from God. But what do I do with my gift? What do I do with this greatness? What do I do with my genius? What do I do with my dream? What do I do with God's plan and destiny for my life? What do I do with this desire to lead and to be great and to subdue and to, well, you serve. You serve. You take what's on your life and you use it to be a blessing. You begin to pray prayers like, God, make me a blessing. And then you start looking for ways to be a blessing. You look for people who need encouragement.
Right.
Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, amen. God bless Chick-fil-A, amen. He said, how do you know if a person needs encouragement? They're breathing. Isn't that awesome? And a chicken sandwich, amen. They need encouragement and a chicken sando. Look to give encouragement. Look for somebody to help. Look for the need and fill it. There's a grace on you. There's a unique perspective on you. There's a beautiful call on your life. Use it. I'm just a sinner. No, you're not anymore. You're a Christian. You're not a sinner anymore. Do you know that you're a child of the Most High God? You're a saint. And you're a servant. You're not a sinner. You sin, but you're not a sin. That's not in your DNA anymore. So now begin to step into the greatness that God has put on the inside of you. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift. Everybody say, I'm gifted. Look at your neighbor. Let them know, I'm gifted. Come on, tell them, I'm gifted. I'm gifted. You better be nice to me. I'm gifted. Isn't that awesome? He's given each one of us a gift. From this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. What's my gift? Your gift is the thing that's easy for you to do. Not everyone can do what I'm doing. You know that this is the number one fear in the world is public speaking. It's number one. Number two is death. People would rather die than do what I'm doing. Some of you are like, yep, kill me before I get on that stage. But for me, it's easy. This is the easiest thing I'll do all week. It's just easy for me. So I have to use that for the glory of God. Whatever comes to you easily, it's your gift is the thing that you love to do and the thing you're good at. Right? And when those two things come together, you use that how to serve one another. Not to be served, but to serve. See, here's what we do with our gift. We use it to be elevated and to be served in the world. But in the kingdom, it's radically different. In the kingdom, we take this gift and we take our greatness, we take our genius, and then we give it away and serve other people. See, your gift will make your life better, but your service will make the world better. You see the difference? Say amen, everybody. So it's what you do with your gift that matters. It's what you do with your gift. I'm talking about the Jesus way of greatness. Lastly, the Jesus way is better.
Amen.
This is the better way. Like, this is better than the world system. This is better. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all or servant of all. It's the same Greek word. Servant, slave, same Greek word. Must be servant of all, must be slave of all. So again, Jesus never tells us we can't desire to be first. Let me have the keys come. He never tells us we can't be great. He never tells us to die to our desire to lead. He never tells us we can't use our gifts or live out our dream. He never says that. He tells us you can be great because you can serve. You don't have to wait to be great. See, in the world system, that's how it is. You have to wait to be great. Your greatness is judged by square footage, brand of vehicle, zip code, zeros in the bank account, X, Y, Z, education, whatever it might be. And then, okay, now you're great. So you don't have to wait to be great. You can be great right now because greatness is not determined by how the world determines it. You can be great now because you can serve now. I'm talking about servanthood. Jabin, I'd like a great marriage. All right, good. I'm glad you listened to today's sermon. This is it. I'd like a great culture in my business. This is it. I'd like a better family dynamic. This is it. I'd like better friendships. This is it. Greatness is service. Greatness is generosity. Greatness is humility. Greatness is Christ-likeness. Greatness is love. Greatness is not branding. Greatness is not German vehicle. Greatness is not guard gated. Greatness is not country club living. Great, and all those things are fine. It's just not what greatness is. Greatness is not amount of followers on social media. Greatness is serving. But we're chasing thrones. Jesus is looking for the towel. Your gift does not make you great. It's what you do with your gift that makes you great. In 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed king of Israel. King of Israel. He is anointed king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16. I mean, he's king. He's anointed king. And with his skin still glistening from the oil, with the aroma of the cinnamon and the myrrh and the fragrant spices of the anointing oil still on his body, with that feeling of pleasure and security of God's affirmation from the moment of his anointing, I mean, he is freshly anointed and ready to lead the nation. Here's how David's dad responds to his anointing. 1 Samuel 17, 17. Jesse said to David, that's David's dad, take this basket of grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. David is the first Uber Eats driver in the world. This is why I always tip my Uber Eats driver. There's greatness on the inside of them. Might be tipping a king or a queen. This is why I'm kind to my food server, even if they're having a bad day, because I mean they might have a king on the inside of them. There's a queen on the inside. I might. Check how your brothers are getting along. Bring back a report of how they're doing. He's king. He's a man after God's own heart. He's anointed, and he's carrying bread. David was anointed king, yet he served. Watch, because if you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. You're too small. If you can't carry bread, you can't carry a sword. If you can't carry cheese, you can't carry a shield. And it was because of this act of service, never forget this, it was because of his heart of servanthood that he would end up in a position to face Goliath. He didn't train his way to Goliath, he served his way to Goliath. It was his servant. He didn't look at his dad and go, I'm king, bro. Do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? Do you see the anointing on my life? Did you hear what Samuel said? He didn't. He didn't really care. They weren't able to see David for who he was. And David did not let that affect him. And his greatest act of servanthood led to his greatest moment of elevation. Yes. Woo. Let me give you your key to success. Find out what God's doing and connect your entire life to it. Let me tell you why I'm here. The reason I'm here, meaning whatever God's done in my life, I just kept showing up. I kept walking. I would preach all over the world to thousands and thousands of people, and then I'd walk into that little building over on West Warm Springs with 100 people in it, 200 people in it, a couple hundred people in it, and I'd preach as hard as I'd preach to 10,000. Yeah. I wouldn't even tell the church. Let me tell you where I've been this week. Let me tell you where I could be this week. Let me tell you what I could be doing. I never do that. Get hundreds of invitations every year to go preach around the world. I don't ever talk. Who cares? I just keep doing the thing God told me to do. Yes. Yes. Can I tell you? This week, I mean, it's just even dumb to talk this way because I'm from Belen, New Mexico, so this is so dumb to even talk this way. But I was talking to my literary agent. I got an agent. And we mapped out my entire book that's going to come out fall 2025. It's going to take a long time because it takes a long time. And we mapped the whole thing out. We got all the chapters together. We created all the... And I'm on a Zoom call this week talking to my literary agent, how he's going to... We're going to go shop it to publishers and... Me? No, and honestly, I still feel, this isn't false humility. I'm like, really? You like the idea? Oh, I love the idea. Are you sure? We just recorded 9 worship songs. We're talking to labels. Getting the best deal for the label. I'm like, us? Our little songs? You like our little songs? What the heck? No, seriously, it's like, what? And God, yeah, look at God. God made me great. And I wasn't chasing it. I was actually laughing a couple of days ago. I was sitting with a guitar. I was playing something. I was writing something. And I said, I'm actually so grateful that all the songs I wrote in my 20s and 30s, they never did what these songs in my 40s are going to do. Because I think all that would have crushed me. So for the last 6 years, I've run from the spotlight. And it keeps finding me. I feel like a prison break. You know, when they're trying to... I feel like I'm trying to... And it just keeps finding me. Because I didn't chase it. I actually tried to run from it. And then it found me. And all of a sudden I was facing a Goliath, and all of a sudden there was elevation on my life. And I'm just telling you, there's a Jesus way to greatness. There's a Jesus way to greatness. And it's not by stepping on people. And I'm not saying you can't have a drive, and I'm not saying you can't have a grit about your life and a work ethic about your life, because we do. But I am saying this. We have not lived, my wife and I, who's on the front row, we have not lived our life chasing stuff. We've never talked like that in our life. We've never talked that way. And yet it finds us. Or found us, or is finding us, or whatever. And I'm just telling you, you can live your life that way. Because if your life is, I want you to do whatever I ask, it'll never be enough. It'll just never be enough. So you give it away, and you serve. And you have a joy and a happiness and a peace that you couldn't have got unless God gave it to you. That's the Jesus way.